What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has nothing to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who are not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, and not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope, believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offences and was raised because of our justification. Be seated. And if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Romans. And our text this morning is taken from Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 and verse 2. We're in a little series looking at some definitive a Christian experience, that those who are truly Christians are those who will come to know what it is to be right with God. And yet it's quite surprising that when you ask people whether they're Christians and they claim to be Christians, yet they don't know of what it is to be right with God. Now, it's impossible to be a Christian without being right with God. And yet this experience that we want to look at this day is unique, you see, in many ways. There is not a religion in the world which can ever give you this experience of being right with God. People can talk of all kinds of experiences. Christians talk of all kinds of experiences. They have experiences of falling on the ground, experiences of feeling warm, experiences of feeling moved, experiences of what they think of is the presence of God. And yet when you ask them, are you right with God? They seem to have no knowledge of it whatsoever. But you can't be a Christian unless you know this one. And it comes to us only in the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He's the one who has come to give us this wonderful news that every one of us here this day, although we may be wrong, we can be right with God. And that is something which the news of Jesus Christ comes to bring. Actually, you don't find it simply from Paul. It comes from our Lord and Saviour. I'll just give you two examples. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, there was a woman who came to him, and she was a great sinner, a great sinner. And then it says, therefore I say to you, your sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then they began to question. And then Jesus says these words. And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You find it again in Luke chapter 18, when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of two men who went to pray. One was definitely a goody-two-shoes. One had everything worked out. He was very religious. He did everything he should. He did all the religious acts. And then the other one, who was a sinner, couldn't lift up his head and simply said to God, have mercy upon me. And Jesus says these words, I tell you, that one who cried, have mercy upon me, went home justified, right with God. And what you find here is that those experiences are not now just for certain people, but they're for everyone who has become a Christian in Jesus Christ, who have put their faith, come to him, believed on him. It is for those now who know this great truth. I'll read it to you. Here it is in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, listen to it, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the royal we that the Apostle Paul speaks of. That's the we now when he is writing to the church which is at Rome. It's that we which he is writing to those reading this epistle who have believed in Jesus Christ. It is that now we in which those here this day who have come to know Jesus Christ as God's Son, has come to know the blessings of what it is to be made or to be counted right with God. And what you find here in this chapter of Romans chapter 5 are the wonderful benefits and effects of what it is then when a person has come to Christ and knows what it is to be justified. There was a famous Welsh preacher called R.B. Jones, and he's got a little booklet. And he's called the little booklet The Gospel for Believers. And the booklet's simply on four chapters, from Romans chapter 5 to Romans chapter 8. And you know that there is a gospel of good news which is for believers this day, that when the person comes and believes in Jesus Christ, you can know of peace, you know of grace, you know of joy, you know of love, you know of security, you know of assurance. And these are the great blessings that you come to know. And I'm going to ask you that question this day. Do you know what it is that you're right with God? Although you may be wrong in so many areas of your life, that you know that blessed word that in Jesus Christ, God has declared you right. Do you know that peace of what it is which flows then from that? I'm just going to give you, first of all, the argument which we have here in verse 1. And I want to emphasize that the Apostle Paul is telling now and explaining the argument. It was Dr. Martin who said this. He said a lot of things. Dr. Martin had a great series on Romans. He was a preacher in Westminster. And many people have benefited from those series for 60 years of what then it means that this unfolding of the letter. And he said this, that the word therefore is the most significant word in the Bible. I'm not sure if that was an exaggeration, but it was also the most frequent word that the Apostle Paul definitely used. The word that Paul uses is therefore. That's different to the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ uses the word truly, truly. It's the word of authority. Verily, verily. Amen, amen. But then you see Paul's different. He has not the authority of the Lord Jesus, but he does have this, the argument which the Lord Jesus Christ in all that he's done. And I could say to you this day, in this place, look, there may be those of you, you can say, I've come to Jesus Christ. I have believed on him. I have committed my life. I've come and there's nothing I don't believe, but I don't have that peace which comes then from this great truth and faith. Well, what I'll say to you today, it may not be an experience that you need. It may simply be that you need this argument that the Apostle Paul brings. And trying to explain of those who have come to Jesus and what Jesus has done on that cross is that you need to understand the implications of it. And that needs to be unfolded in your thinking and in your mind and in your experience, that you could have and know this peace. But I will say to you, if you've never come to Jesus Christ and you've never repented of your sins and you've never trusted him for salvation, it's not an argument you need. It's an experience you need. And you need to come to that cross and you need to believe in him, because it's the only way that you could ever know that you're right with your Maker. And that's what you find here. That was what we've got. And let me just explain it for you. The therefore, they're being justified by faith. You can go back to chapter 3 and verse 20. Another one of those therefores. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And what the Apostle Paul does, he just explains to them, first of all, that there's no man or woman on this earth that could ever be made right with God by keeping the law. Because by keeping the law is the knowledge of sin. When we hear God's law, we feel condemned. We know that we don't measure the mark. We know that when we hear the law, that at the end of the day, we are lawbreakers. I don't know if you've ever been a lawbreaker. Yes, you could have. It's not hard these days in your car, and you've broken the limit. And then you just, was there a camera? Is there a policeman? And then all of a sudden, your conscience is pricked. And there are people, you see, we live our lives, don't we, with the understanding we have broken the law. The law never gives you peace. The law gives you a restless conscience. The law gives you hard work. You'll never know the peace, you see, which comes from the law. And then he shows us that there's one who came and kept the law. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's one who died in accordance with the law for your sins and my sins. And then he shows us here, you have it there in that reading I read to you, verse 16 of chapter 4, therefore it is of faith. And he gives these two examples that this is now taught to us here in God's word. And what you have is this. There was the great man Abraham. And what he wants you to know, that Abraham was accounted right with God. Abraham wasn't perfect. Abraham was just like you and me. But there was a day in Abraham's life where God came to him and gave him a promise, the promise of a son. And Abraham believed God. And it says that when Abraham believed God and the promise he given, it was accredited to his account. That account, which was bankrupt before God, was now accredited to him as righteousness. And then he gives another example, which comes of David. And David was someone who was a sinner and knew what it was to sin. And in that chapter of chapter 4, you've got there in verse 7, it's from Psalm 32, where David comes and he prays. And you know what he knows? He knows that God has not imputed and accounted his sin to him. He hasn't laid it to his charge because he believed and trusted in the mercy of God. And so it is that what you find here, he comes and therefore, this is what you have. It's a wonderful, wonderful word. Therefore, when we read now in verse 24, but also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, because who was delivered for our offenses. He was crucified for our sin. He died in our place. He atoned for our deeds, paid our debt. And God, you know what he did? He then on the third day rose him up to declare and to show that we are justified in God's sight for everyone who believes. It's that argument. And this is the consequences of it. A number of years ago, I can't remember now, we had a special kind of services downstairs in the schoolroom. And it was on this subject. And I remember Malcolm, I forgot his name, Malcolm Jones came to preach for us. And he told us the story of when he went to Scotland. And he went to a big church and there was a famous preacher called Robert Murray McChain. And the Bible was in the pulpit. You can go and see it. And what Malcolm Jones did was this, is that he turned to Isaiah chapter 53. And as he turned to chapter 53, there was a comment which had been made in the very margin. And what the comment was this, the benefits of Christ, the benefits of Calvary, the benefits of that crucifixion. And he said that was the best comment he ever read from all his commentaries on what it meant that Christ died, that you could be right. Can I tell you, you can be right with God today, every one of you, by simple faith in Jesus. You'll never do it through your works. You'll never do it through any deed. You won't do it through any religious acts or anything else, but simply trusting in him. The moment you do, to explain it to you, it's not that you'll be made right, but you'll be declared right by God. I heard a testimony last week in the funeral that we had, and it was a lovely little testimony. It was a woman now, perhaps who was elderly, in her 70s, perhaps nearly 80. But she said how she became a Christian when she was a young girl. She was taken to a little beach mission down there in Pendine. And as they taught them, the people leading the beach mission said to them, anybody who wants to receive Jesus into their life, come to the church in the evening. So she went to the church in the evening, just there on the beach. And she said, all I can tell you is this. They told me to say a prayer. And she said, I couldn't even say the prayer because I was weeping so much. She said, the woman said it for me. I thought, that is so good. Do you know, it's by faith, isn't it? Coming to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not anything that we do, not even the prayers that we come and we bring. You can know what it is to be right with God. Now, here it is. There are three things, many things, but I'm just going to count on three today from these two verses of what it is of the experience. And the first is this, immediately. The first is peace with God. And when I ask people, what does it mean for you to be a Christian? And many people can give many kind of answers. And they interview people these days. What is it? Does your Christian faith mean to you? Or it means that I'm happier. It means that I've got meaning in my life. It means that, to be honest with you, my family's been sorted out and I can't thank Jesus enough. Or it means that I'm no longer addicted. All those things are true. Jesus can set you free. Jesus can bless you. But you know, the first thing is this. Peace with God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. And with that very moment, there's that conscience which is wiped clean. And there is a peace that is now with God. And a peace that you should know with God. There's that moment in a world like this. What a message. A world filled, think of it, with the war and the turmoil and the earthquakes and the uprisings that we see. In this very world, which is filled with fear and anxiety, you can know today from this experience that you've got peace with God. And if you don't know peace with God, you may go to a desert island. You could have paradise before you. The sun can be on your face. You can have all that, but you'll never be at peace. And the reason is this, because unless you come to that place where you make your account right with God and believe in Him, you're at war. You're at war with God. You're fighting God. You're disagreeing with God. You've got arguments against God this day, against His law and against His promises. You've got arguments against the way of salvation. You're just at war with God. Do you know there comes a moment and you'll never be at peace, but I'll promise you this. You come to Jesus Christ, you could walk back into a war zone in your house, but you got peace with God. And I want you to notice, just notice, it's by faith. Therefore, having been justified, we've been by faith, we have peace with God, listen, through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not faith and you've been a chapel. It's not faith and you're part of a church community. It's not faith and your works. It's not faith and your feelings. It's faith. I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in Him. I need you to ask the question, do you know of that peace which is with God? And if you don't, it may be one of those indications that there may be something else which is not right. Because if you're not right with Him, you'll never be right. you'll only be wrong. But look now, something else. There's another experience that you have, through whom we have access by faith into this grace. Now, the second thing to note, and I also want you to note this, through whom? We're not a faith movement here. I know you can watch that on the God Channel. The faith movement is something that they talk about faith. It's all about faith. But for us, it's all about Christ. And that's what you find here. You see, you have the peace, which is through our Lord Jesus. In whom? In him. You have then this access in which we stand. And it's the great news that a person who comes to Jesus, you know what it is, that you have access by faith in which you stand. Now, you see this book from cover to the cover of the Old Testament tells us there is no access. From the day that Adam fell, he was thrown out to the garden, and there was a guard which was placed on the garden. There was no entry. You couldn't enter into that paradise once again. You read this book and you find that there's a tabernacle. And what you find is also a temple. But in the temple, there was no access. I mean, there was an outer court for Gentiles. You could go there, but you couldn't go further. There was another court if you were a Jewish woman. You could go that far, but you couldn't go no further. There was another court and a place you could go if you were a Jewish man, but you couldn't go further. There were other places you could go if you were a priest, but you couldn't go further. If you were a high priest, you could go to the one place of the Holy of Holies once a year. But now, by the grace of God, by faith which you've come to, you can enter. You have access to, in grace, to this house of grace. I don't know how to describe it to you, but when you come to Jesus Christ, there's a house which he has made where the dome is in heaven, where the foundation is Jesus Christ, where there are many rooms, and the whole place is the house of grace. And I'm not talking about Graceland. I'm talking about now this house which we have made of our Lord and Saviour. Look what we find. Let me talk to you. You have access, as we too, in which you stand. If the first experience is that it brings silence to your soul, the second experience you're going to have to know, when you do know, is that you'll be able to stand. You have access to his grace. Now, in his grace, let me just try and explain it. In our Christian lives, think of what it's like to be here today. Think of what it's like to be someone standing in front of a congregation. You know, to be able to stand before a congregation and to be able to talk to you about God and to speak about the things of God and to speak to people and to face them. All I can tell you is this. It's utterly, absolutely impossible. Impossible to do without the grace of God. Without knowing the grace. Because we all know what we're like. We know our faults. We know our sin. We know what we're like. How can you just talk? Knowing the things perhaps which have been done and said, there's guilt and shame all over us. I mean, you may have bravado and be able to do it, but you're not going to be able to. You see, it's the only way that you could stand is by this faith that we read of. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Let me put it like this to you. When you come to pray, how can you actually go and pray before God? The Almighty, the Holy, the Great God, how can you do it? Some of the best advice I ever had was this, is that when you come to pray, you pray as a justified sinner. That's why it says we come boldly before the throne of God. How do you do it? Well, you do it because you believe, don't you, that you've been declared right in God's sight through Jesus Christ. And because of that now, you're able to stand before the throne of grace and make your petitions and your prayers before Almighty God. There is no other way that you could stand and pray by faith unless in that righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you again, when you come to this place, do you know what we call what we're doing today is a means of grace, the preaching of God's word. The Lord's table is a means of grace. Now, people say, I can't come to the Lord's table. Well, why is that? Because I don't feel good enough. Well, that's right. There's not one of us who is good enough. I can't come to church today because I've had a terrible week. I can't now show myself before the means of grace because I've done something in my life. You're wrong. You're wrong. You are able by faith. We have access into the grace in which we stand. And we can only do all these things because of God's wonderful mercy towards us. And you know of that in your life. We're not here because I've had a good week or a bad week. We're here and we're able to stand before God. I need to impress upon you, I know there are people who tell you, you can fall from grace. No, that's not what this verse says. This verse tells us that because we've now received freely, with nothing in our hands, simply by faith, we have access by the grace in which we stand. That's how it works. And when the Bible says, but isn't there a verse which says that you could fall from grace? Oh yeah, I could take you to that verse. It's to a certain people, not because they've sinned, but because of now their righteous, religious, law-abiding deeds. And when you go down that road, you know what you're doing? You can't enter the house of grace because you're trying it with works. You're trying it with law. You can't enter in there. And I know there have been people who have come, and what happens in their lives, they may come to a place of worship, and then they go. And they go to certain places, and it's like this. They go where they think they could be more spiritual, seek more of the presence of God. But I know that if I asked them the question, are you right with God? There is no answer. And there is no positive reply. This is not an overstatement. When it says, this is the truth by which we stand. Because if you don't know this truth, we can only fall. To know what it is to be right. It's wonderful. There's one more experience that we've got. It's found here. And then it says, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. To be a Christian is to be filled with many experiences. This is the experience that you do need that gives them the genuineness of what then we now have and receive. You have this rejoicing. You have the peace, you have the grace, you have the rejoicing. I mean, that's a wonderful balance of a Christian life. And what's being told us here is this, is that you rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That is, that you know of everlasting life. You know of heaven. But you know something else. You know that you're the glory of God. That also belongs to you. It's not that you're unsure that you're going to heaven. You know that you've got life, you know that you're going there, and you know that the glory of God somehow in Jesus Christ belongs to you. It's hard to grasp because our lives are filled with shame. Shame. Shame and failure and rejection, filled with loss. But you've got a rejoicing which is in your heart and in your experience. I do believe that that there should be, you see, part of the Christian experience, a joy which is inexpressible and full of glory. I'm going to ask you the question, do you have it? If you don't have it, it may be not that you're just not taking the tablets. It may be something else. It may be something spiritual. It may be something here, fundamental. Now let me describe what is spoken of. The experience of the past, when you come to Him, there's the immediate experience of peace. There is then the continuing experience of grace. There is the ultimate experience of the glory of God. The glory of God. And what happens here on earth is going to affect that which is to come. Let me describe it to you. Just one little verse and how right it is. It's there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that means that in a judgment to come, in a world to come, in a God we have to face, you know now the no condemnation. No condemnation now I dread. You come to the place where what's happened in the past has effect through your life, and on that great day of judgment, you shall not be ashamed. You will be able to stand, and the glory of God is before you. That affects your life. That affects your well-being. That affects eternity. No condemnation. Oh, what an awful day it's going to be. No condemnation in Christ Jesus. We need this great truth in our lives and in this world in which we live. I know you have come here today, and I know that you may have many issues and many problems. I'm well aware of what's happening out there in the world. And you can say, look, I'm coming to this place and you're not touching on these issues. There's Turkey and Syria, there's the Ukraine, and there's Russia. Well, all I can say to you, has this not got something? Let me just say that you hope in the glory of God in this world which is utterly, totally messed up. Is there not a gospel that tells us there is a better day and there is news? Let me put it like this, that in this world there will always be wars. Earthquakes will always be. It's never different. And you could be gone in a moment. What you need is peace. And in a world filled with trials, you can know the peace. Not in a perfect world, but in a world which is utterly turned upside down. When you've known that, you've got it. And what a testimony that is to those around. You turn on the news, and when you turn on the news, you can't help just be shaken by the number of deaths which are taking place. And people are living in this world, listen, with no hope. No hope of a future, and no hope of change. And you rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And there are people, they are dumbfounded, and they have nothing to rejoice in. And you don't rejoice that was taking place, but you can look at that news. And you have joy in your heart because one day you know it will be to an end. And a new day will dawn. People desperately need it. I remember reading the account of one tragic, tragic family event where a young child was diagnosed. Can you imagine without Christ, without hope in the world? The young child was diagnosed with a deadly disease of which they would not be cured from. Such was the pain of the father and the mother that they took their own lives. Well, the father did. It was a suicide, a family one, where they drove over the cliff. And you tell me, I haven't got a message for a world which needs some hope. You come to Jesus Christ, you come and be right, and you will find that hope which is with God, and it will be with joy inexpressible. I know, are you going to heaven? Oh, I hope so. It's not that, is it? There's a certainty of it. You're assured of it, and you know it. I'll finish. We, it's those who have come to know whom in Jesus Christ, and the what, it's the glory of God.